Now call to order the regular court session of the Orange County Commissioners Court. Today is February 14th, 2017, and the time is 2:02, according to this clock, p.m. All members of the court are present. Will Commissioner Crump please lead us in our invocation?
Sure. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. Father, even the inclement weather, the rain, we know it's for a plan. It's for your purpose, Father. We just pray that we could accept those terms, Father. We just thank you how you intervene in our life every day, how you watch over us and you take care of us. Thank you for loving us as much as you do, Father. Thank you for the people that came out today. They're involved in the local government and put up with the bad weather as we're seeing it right now, Father. We thank you that they take an interest in things happening in this county, Father. Thank you for their willingness to come out. Thank you again for this court coming together today, Father. And I pray that everything we do, we conduct it according to your will, and you'd be pleased with what we do, Father. And thank you again for all the first responders, those individuals that put their life in harm's way for us every day. They've taken that call, Father, and I just pray that you protect them and watch over them. Thank you again so much for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, Commissioner. First, we have approval of the minutes of the town hall meeting held on January 26, 2017 at 2 p.m. as circulated.
So moved.
Second.
2-3. Any further discussion? Start with precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Yes.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. And approve the minutes of the town hall meeting held on January 26, 2017 at 7 p.m. as circulated.
So moved.
Second.
4-1. Any further discussion? Start with precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Yes.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Approve the minutes of the public workshop held on January 31st, 2017 at 1 p.m. as circulated.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
3-4. Any further discussion? Sorry, precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
I must abstain. 3.
Yes.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0 with county judge abstaining. And finally, approve the minutes of the special court session held in Vidor on February 7th, 2017 at 2 p.m. as circulated.
So moved.
Second.
We'll do 4-2. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Yes.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Item number 1, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court a direct deposit from the State Comptroller of Public Accounts in the amount of $538,485.91. These funds represent the half-cent sales and use allocation for the month of December 2016 and have been credited to the General Operating Fund. 4-1. Any further discussion?
We'll need to shop orange.
Yes, we're down, what, 9.5%?
179,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But 100, almost 180,000 for the fiscal year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Lee's Shop Orange County. All right. We'll start with precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Yes.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. It's 4-1. Agenda item number two, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. A, $3,175,674.79 to David E. Burnson, PC, IOLDA account from the general fund 001-111-54122 for cause number 113CV00611RC Montano v. Orange County, Texas, in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Texas, Beaumont Division.
Also for approval for February 14, 2017, the general fund, including what was just read, financial of $3,285,720.02, Road and Bridge, $90,094.70, Mosquito Control, $3,053.55, Adult Probation, $8,404.13, and other funds of $90.25, for a grand total of $3,387,362.65.
Make a motion to go ahead and pay the bills as the auditor allows it.
Second. 1-3. Any further discussion? Right, we'll start with precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Yes.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda item number 3, discussion and possible action regarding approval of a line item transfer auditor from account 001-303-54570, registration and seminars, amount of $580.80, to account 001-303-54130, contract maintenance, amount of $580.80, purpose to provide funds for the remainder of the year.
So moved.
Second.
1-2. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Yes.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda number 4, discussion and possible action regarding Enterprise Fleet Management. Enterprise Fleet Management did a presentation for Commissioner's Court on January 31st, 2017. So, I was unable to attend that particular workshop on that day, but we have met with Enterprise before, and I think they gave basically the same information that we had in a private meeting with them on this particular option for us. So I guess it's kind of our chance to, having thought about it for a while, to see where we are on it, if something we want to continue with, if we want to continue, if we want to try to work towards doing something now, or if we want to think about it and continue on, kind of hold on to this as something to start budgeting for next year, or if we think this is or is not going to work for what we want to do. So
I think it's a good plan. I just don't know if we're ready for it yet. Having to commit every year to a line item of around $200,000-$250,000, especially this coming year after line item 2A, I just don't feel that comfortable enough with what the budget's going to be next year to go ahead and get into something like that right now.
I think my issue is that I think we need to probably have a little workshop on this, and let's get down into more of the numbers. I need to know what our numbers are going to be and what kind of cost that we'd avoid with the county versus what we're going to spend with them, and I just don't feel comfortable that I have those numbers yet.
And I agree, but I think that we did, during that workshop, we did ask them to include, because I don't think they'd included the law enforcement side of it at that point, because they were just now kind of getting into that, and I know y'all had looked into that a little bit, and because I'd like to see what those numbers would look like before we move forward with, because I think, to me, it's a better, if we go a bigger picture as opposed to just one side of the county and not include them in it. I think that needs to be an inclusion in what was presented to us as we move forward.
Or maybe a partial of this plan. Maybe a breakdown, because I know other agencies have gotten smaller bites of the apple, theoretically speaking. So that is possible to do also.
Yeah, I kind of echo what Commissioner Burton said. I think the overall plan is good. I know other municipalities or other entities such as municipalities have entered into this before, and it has helped them to be able to cycle through their fleets a little more regularly and maybe get a better sale on their when they're trading in at the right time for those vehicles. It's just I think it is kind of hard to make a commitment right now before we get into the budget. So but kind of what I've heard is maybe continue looking at it and something that we can maybe not enter an agreement in this current fiscal year, but maybe look at doing something for next year and maybe at a smaller scale perhaps than doing all of our vehicles, maybe a smaller number. I mean, again, it's something we can continue to explore and continue to have some more workshops on to try to get a better handle of perhaps maintenance numbers that we want to look at and some of the law enforcement issues of it.
Yeah, and I think maintenance numbers it's going to be hard for us to pin down. And we had a discussion after the workshop that y'all have a pretty good handle on.
Yeah.
Can kind of give us an idea, deal with this enough within plus or minus 5% of probably what we're spending per vehicle on maintenance and what we'd be saving on that. So those are numbers we need to look at as well and kind of compare them to what we're spending and what we'd be saving on that side of the equation.
And any idea possibly on when, I know we talked about the law enforcement side, when y'all might have some of those numbers worked up that we could, so that if we do another workshop that we're prepared with that when y'all come in?
I just got the fleet list today.
Okay.
So it'll probably take a week or so to get the numbers together. Mm-hmm. We were thinking about having them as two separate entities, yeah. You know, starting out with county vehicles and then including PD, but I can definitely get those numbers for you.
Okay, because if we're going to do a workshop, we might as well have all that information available to us when we do it.
Sure.
Like July or August. How can we pin our maintenance numbers down?
Okay. I'm sorry?
How can we pin our maintenance costs down?
Be working with department heads to see, and the auditor also, on expenses that have gone out on, as best we can to tie down, was this, were these expenses due to, you know, maintaining engines or any other type of work that's done on the
Well,
on the audit side, it's very difficult to go from the back end forward. It'd be much easier if we have those on, because ours include the trucks, the great all, everything. Yeah. And so trying to pull out which ones are actually vehicles and things like that. Do we have more of those?
Look, I don't know that we readily have a breakdown per vehicle.
Because it's a one-sided conversation right now, so it's kind of hard to make a decision.
Our costs are, overhead. It's being attributed to the labor,
to the whole
everything.
Yeah.
It's not individual to a unit.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there was some concerns, too, that after talking to Sheriff Merritt about that, because he brought up a good point about the vehicle, about if there's an accident, what are we going to do in the interim? We need to have that question answered, too, so that we know that we're not out of vehicle. There's any kind of a repair or something that's done, you know, whether it be an insurance claim or not, but that we know that we've got a vehicle to come into, because if they're not going to be doing that necessarily that repair, we've got to have something. Okay.
Well, I guess what we can do is do we want to set a date by which to make a decision for next fiscal year. We want to, because whatever we decide to do, we're going to have to plug that number into the budget and know, all right, going forward, this is an expense that we have to account for from here on out. So do we want to,
like,
say
late August?
Yeah, like by
end of August.
End of August. So
that's too late.
That's too late. I'm thinking probably one in June, and then possibly maybe a second one in August, because in June we're going to need, because we're going to probably come up with more questions, would be my guess.
We'll be doing before we button this thing down. Reviews too. Yeah. They'll be coming in and talking to us. So. Yeah. That's good. And also, too, in out of respect to Joanna and Josh, mm-hmm. that they're making multiple trips over here, and I'm very grateful that they've done that. So to kind of minimize some of their trips, mm-hmm. let's kind of get it compiled together, and we can do, you know, fewer trips for them, too.
Sure. So we want to try to target to have another workshop in June on this issue, when we've had some more time to speak with the department heads.
Judge, I think we'll probably, I think an internal workshop, we're not so much looking outward, but we're looking inward.
Right.
I think so. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, we could do something more localized with our folks here and then give that information.
Well, we ask them to come back.
June, plenty of time.
Yeah.
All right, do you think June's enough time to give you all the information that y'all to present to us?
Well, when are y'all going to need the actual vehicles? Because in most cases, what most of the entities that we've, most of the government entities, they get the agreements in place prior to us actually ordering the vehicles, because we need time to actually build the vehicles for you. So if you wanted, you know, it to come into effect for next fiscal year budget-wise, typically we'd want to have the agreements 2 to 3 months in advance, and then maybe a month more than that to finalize the discussions that we were talking about last time. So it would probably be, I would think, maybe even a little bit earlier than...
That's what the sheriff's fought for years, the delivery time.
Well, then I guess what I'm hearing is, so our next fiscal year will begin October 1st, so you need something by, like, June 1st? That's 4 months back.
It's not, we don't need, it can be at any time. But ideally, I would say, you know, probably by May, we'd want to have everything finalized, if that's possible. That would give you enough time then to order the vehicles, and if not June, I think it should still give us enough time to build, at least get some of the vehicles in time.
Well, that's the assumption we want, that we want them here October 1st. I mean,
yeah, that's again.
We could take delivery in
January
2018, actually. Which is what we do with the sheriff's department. They don't get vehicles until January or so sometimes, ordering them in October.
And I don't want to rush anything that we don't, and we make a bad decision on something.
Absolutely. We don't want
for or against. I just want us to make sure we're doing the right thing.
It'll only take us about, I would say, like Joanna said, a week, 2 weeks to get the information together. So, again, that's kind of, we want to work with you and determine how long it's going to take you under to do the internal investigation to see what the...
I don't think by May we will have enough.
I don't think by May we will either.
I like the
idea of a like an internal workshop with department heads in June, and then late July, August,
a workshop with them come in.
If we wrap up by mid-July, they bring them in and get their numbers, and we can have filter numbers by the 1st of August. I think
that should be good.
If we did anything and we move forward, it would be fleet vehicles or something.
Agreement.
Because we're not expecting to turn to delivery on the 1st day of October.
No.
Right. Okay, so we want to have an internal workshop where they don't have to come back in June. We want to have our workshop with them in
July. Mid-July.
Okay. And then we're going to make our decision by the end of August.
That'd be pretty.
August.
Sometime in August. Okay. There's no action we need to take on that, but just that's our plan, what we're going to do going forward. And like I said, thank you guys for working with us on this. I know you got to travel from Houston to come.
It's such lovely weather, too.
Especially
today. Great weather. But it's pretty going back to Houston already, so.
it's better, going that direction. Clear.
Thank you, too. You've been over here a lot. You've been engaged with us quite a bit.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Okay, so we'll take no action on number 4. Agenda item number 5, discussion and possible action regarding approving the programmatic agreement for compliance with Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act for the Sabine Pass to Galveston Bay Coastal Storm Risk Management and Ecosystem Restoration Project. This is more of just kind of standard stuff that comes along with looking at the coastal levee project. This agreement that they're looking for, it doesn't bind the county. It's just basically saying that we and the Corps of Engineers and everyone is going to abide by these National Historic Preservation Act, and if there's any types of remains or historical artifacts that are found, that we will take the appropriate steps will be followed to preserve that type of those types of findings, and it's being asked for by every county that's part of this. So if we want to be able to continue on with the study, it's a requirement that we have. So it really doesn't force us to do anything other than, again, saying if this ever goes anywhere, we will abide by the law, which is what we have to do anyway.
So you can just read the whereas.
Oh, no, I'm not going to read all the. It's just pretty lengthy. Pages. Yeah. So I will. I will enter a motion to approve the agreement with authorizing the county judge to sign the same.
I'll second that.
Okay. Start with precinct one. Two.
Aye.
Aye. Three.
Yes.
Four.
Judge, I'm going to abstain. Some language I read I didn't necessarily like, and I don't know all the details on it yet.
Okay. So motion passes 4-0 with precinct one abstaining.
Precinct four.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
I said one.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Precinct four abstaining. Thank you. Agenda number six, discussion and possible action regarding the 2009 Ford Explorer vehicle identification number 1FMEU63EX9UA37448, license number 106-784. This vehicle has been used as one of the pool cars for county employees traveling to conferences or meetings. The Explorer has damages exceeding the amount worth repair. In its current condition, it will not pass inspection. I believe we did put this up for auction, and it did not draw any bid, or not a sufficient bid.
No bid.
Okay. So the idea is, what do we want to do with the vehicle? It's just kind of sitting there right now. Like I said, it's going to cost more to repair it than it's worth.
And the Bible quote that we gave you, mm-hmm. check today, and it is still good, available. They would give a
$2,500. Yeah.
It's for a 2017 Ford Fusion. Total would be $16,997.
Well, I guess why did we get a bid on a Fusion to replace an Explorer? Is there a reason that we did that?
Actually, we were looking for something that would be the best value, but we could certainly give
Via our travel agreement, I don't really feel like driving a Ford Fusion or sitting in the back seat of a Ford Fusion to Austin. So maybe we could get a bid on the Explorer.
Well, and also on this, the actual language of the agenda item, it just references the 2009 Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
For repair, which
it doesn't reference, I mean, a bid or a quote or anything.
No, I'm saying it's just more of, do we want to continue on the path of trading it in and getting a new one, or do we want to just pay the money to fix it, which it was what?
$6,000, I think.
Yeah, it was quite a bit more than
the question, if we're looking at fleet. Mm-hmm. Do we want to hold off until we decide something with fleet?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Do we have the time? Can we do that?
If we
can do that, that would probably be the preferred thing, is to just wait to see what we decide with fleet before we move forward.
What other pool vehicles do we have available?
It's only one. Is that
Explorer
or Escape?
It's Escape.
It's a little SUV.
It's just the one we got. So we can wait. It's been sitting there for a little while anyways.
I think we're just waiting.
Okay.
Hopefully buy some time to figure out what we do with fleet.
Yeah, the fleet program.
All right.
Yeah, that's a question I had too. Where's the $17,000 coming from to buy this? I mean, we didn't have anything budgeted.
We didn't budget. Have to come out of contingency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as...
I hate to drain contingency anymore right now.
So I guess do we need to make a motion just to not do anything or no action required?
Just no action. Yeah. At least
we're going to repair it. So.
Yeah. All right.
Judge, can I ask a question on that, just because I don't know, I think this is the same one. On that vehicle there that was in the auction, did we not have an opening, bid on that? In other words, was there a
minimum
limit on what we had?
Like a reserve?
It was set at what the trade-in value was.
Yeah, okay.
So we wanted to at least get what we knew we could get, the $2,500. afford selling it to someone for $500 or something.
I knew someone that bid on it, but or was going to bid on it, but I think it was like $1,000 less than the opening bid, and may have been beneficial not to have an opening bid on it to be able to sell it for $1,000 less than what the opening bid was. Wouldn't be, see what I'm saying? Wouldn't be having to deal with it now.
Well, I know. When we talked about it, I had said, look, if we know if we have a quote that we can get at least $2,500, then have that be the opening bid, so we're not losing anything on the bidding of the sale. Because
okay.
We also have to give 10% of what we make on the bid has to go to auction. The auctioneer also.
Right. And it's not to say that we can't put it back up for auction if the board sells.
And lower the opening bid.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Agenda item number 7, discussion and possible action regarding the certification of the January 2017 collection report for the tax office as required under PTC 31.10.
Good evening. As you can tell, the office collected $52,568,476.04 for total collection. The county collection for it is $12,197,822.31. It looks like the collection is a little bit down, but I think it's because the levy has gone up a little bit, well, not a little bit, quite a bit, and therefore it looks like our collection is down, but we really are doing better than, better than what it really looks like, because we just got through posting everything this week, so we are totally caught up. We're fixing to send out second notices, and I think the February figures will really increase it a lot more than it is.
What percentage rate are we at?
Right now it's 61.56.
It's low.
It's really low.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the lowest it's shown in about 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, the average is 70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the levy also, just for the city of Orange, was increased by over $1 million. So, I mean, when your levy increase, it does make your collection rate look less.
Okay. Well, hopefully it looks better next month. Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a motion to accept the report?
I'm going to accept the report, Judge.
Second.
2-3. Further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Yes.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Agenda number 8, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court the racial profiling report for Constable Precinct 4.
So moved.
Oh, he's not here, is he?
Second.
4-2. Any further discussion? Precinct 4.
Aye.
3.
Yes.
Aye. 2.
Aye.
1. Motion passes 5-0. Agenda number 9. Discussion and possible action for authorization from the Orange County Commissioner's Court to allow the Orange County Sheriff's Office to apply for a grant project through the 2017 State Homeland Security Program, SHSP. The project included under this grant is the Home Defense Critical Communications to Combat Terrorism Project. SHSP is one of three grant programs included in the Homeland Security Grant Program, SHGP, through the Homeland Security Grants Division of the Governor's Office. The program provides funding for the Orange County Sheriff's Office readiness in preventing, protecting against, responding to, recovering from, and mitigating terrorist attacks. The closing date for grant submission is February 28, 2017. This program has no matching funds requirement. Okay, I think there was a slight wording change we wanted to make, but I wanted to go ahead and read it as originally submitted. So if you can, that was not the State Homeland Security Program, correct? It's going to be the LEPTA?
LEPTA, which stands for Law Enforcement Terrorism Prevention of Activities. And a lot of different acronyms.
What a name.
It's the government, of course. Yeah. So,
law enforcement
terrorism.
LETPA?
LETPA.
Yeah, law enforcement terrorism prevention activities.
Terrorism prevention activities.
LETPA.
So, throughout this agenda item, it would be replacing State Homeland Security Program with LEPTA instead.
Okay.
Yes.
In this, yes.
Yeah, in this item.
Replacing the SSSP is still Homeland Security through emergency management. It just is.
Right. It's just a change of the. Yes.
Have they identified the funding amount yet?
Okay. We are seeking right at $70,000. Actually, it's 67 and some change, and we will put forth from the sheriff's office if receiving the grant just the remainder of the amount to finish buying an additional radio.
Okay, just short of $70,000, and no matching funds. I move we approve the item.
Second.
For two, any further discussion? Sorry, precinct one.
Eight.
Two.
Aye.
Aye. Three.
Yes.
Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Okay, agenda number 10. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of a resolution authorizing submission of the 2017 State Homeland Security Program application for the Orange County Sheriff's Office Home Defense Critical Communications to Combat Terrorism Project, the Office of the Governor. Same change in this one as well. So the SHSP would be replaced with LETPA.
LETPA?
Yeah, LETPA.
That's just hard to say.
Or LETPA.
Or LETPA, yeah.
All right, ESP.
Did you get a motion, Dave?
Not yet.
Motion.
Second.
All right, 4-3. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Eight.
Two.
Aye.
Three.
Yes.
Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you for doing all this.
Thanks, Sheriff. Sure. Thank you.
He volunteered for it.
I've been voluntold for a lot of stuff through the military, too. Okay, here we go. They always said it was your opportunity to excel. Yeah.
He's an overachiever.
Yeah.
Does he know he's an overachiever?
Everybody's funny these days.
Agenda number 11, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer of the district clerk from account 001-111-53830 contingency fund in the amount of $13,000.00 to account 001-220-51140 extra help salaries in the amount of $13,000.00. Purpose to provide funds for the remainder of the year.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Vicki.
Hello. thank you for allowing me to speak. And I would like to apologize first for not being able to lay any groundwork or get in touch with anyone prior to submitting this agenda item. But we were contacted by a retired employee, actually, the Friday before, and I was gone all last week to an education
training
conference.
Yeah.
And so I asked the girls to hurry up and get it on there because we didn't want to lose the opportunity if it's possible at all. Someone who knows the lay of the land and knows the work of the office is the type of part-time employee that we need, because we need someone who can really come in and actually work one of the desks. To lay just a small amount of groundwork for our two new commissioners, I did ask for a full-time employee in the past budget year, and due to the budget constraints, the court was not able to fulfill anyone's request for employees. So generally, I will use a college student, but outside of that, hiring a what I call part-time, full-time, which is, I think, the 29 hours you can work them and not giving benefits, employee, I don't do unless it's someone who has worked for me before, because it's not helpful if they can't actually do the real work of the office. That is what we need at this time. We need someone who can all hands-on. And so a lot of times I do have a retired employee who likes to work for us. I've been fortunate with that. And so we've had this opportunity to present itself again. In the past, up until in the 2014-15 budget year, I had the full budgeted amount of $16,000 for extra help salaries that would fund that, which is the same year I voluntarily gave up the last full-time employee position I had, trying to use a full-time, part-time person. However, I've not really had anyone that could fill that at this point, so I've just been using about $4,000 over the past couple of budget years. And under our new budgeting procedures, we don't leave the money just sitting in our budgets, which I understand is a better use of the money not to do that. So that is why I had come, because it was my understanding that the money is then put into contingency for the possibility if we can use it, we can ask for it. Also, that again being said, if this was to fall through and she was not to be able to do it, which as of today she is still interested, and if I'm able to get her, it would help us tremendously. For the two new commissioners, the trying to give up the position has not worked well for me due to the fact that, as you may or may not know, e-filing has opened my office 24/7, 365, which does not coincide with our work week. Also, it has more than doubled the workload, because we're now handling the, everything that's filed comes into that system, has to be handled in that system, then it has to be removed from it and put into the next holding spot, then it has to be created in the actual case management system where it will reside, along with all the other work we still had to do to it to begin with. As far as another example I might could give you would be that most things in our office are filed with a lot of ex parte issues. Previously, the filer handled the ex parte part of it. They were the ones that came in. We prepared things. They took it to the court. They handled it. They worried about where it was, how it got back, and that type thing. That job is now ours. We handle all the ex parte part of it. So we get it. We get it to the court. We babysit it. We check on it. We get it back, and we get it back to the filer, which creates a lot more phone calls, because the filers are wanting to know, where is it? What's the status? When's it going to be back? When are you going to get my service issued? And that type of thing. So it's just created a lot more work all the way around. The position that we have at this point in time, like I said earlier, I feel like it's not one that just your average, it's not one to do menial tasks. We don't have that anymore. We used to, people, we needed them to file up papers, do those types of things. We don't have those anymore. Everything is electronic. Everything resides on all of our systems. So it would be a position that we need someone with experience. And this person does have that, and it would be a huge asset to us. We are slipping further and further behind. Everyone is going to say every day, every year. that it happens. I understand the court's budgetary constraints on not being able to give the full-time employee. This would be someone who, of course, would work under the part-time rate, always working within, I think it's 29 hours, always with my chief deputy deal with that, whatever it is that you don't have to give benefits. She is a retiree anyway, so she has the benefits that she needs. The only thing that I can tell you is that in a very quick little roundabout way, is that, you know, I've looked slightly just to do a slight little comparison of the one county equal in our population that's close to us, and that's Liberty County. Their population is 79,000. Ours is similar to that. And there they have three courts, and they have 11 full-time clerks. Here in Orange County, our population is more than that. They only have three courts there. We have five full-time courts, and I only have 10 full-time employees. So we're talking about two more courts, a lot more work, a larger population, not by a lot, but larger. And so, and they're, you know, and they talked about, I was just at my conference, and that was the main part of the conference, is the fallout from EFOL. So I would ask that you please grant that. I have had, you know, some employees that I have replaced, and I've waited. These employees did not have any type of payout. They just transferred into other offices. But I did wait the period of time anyway to try to save the money. So I do know that if we could get the money from contingency at the end of the year, there would be money to go back from my budget in to pay that money back. My only concern would be, and you all better know how that works than I do, there is a savings there already. My only concern is that if we use that now, is just that if you're going to move it from there now, that's fine, but it just cannot permanently reduce my salary line item. The salary line item would have to be fully funded mm-hmm. next budget year because the positions have been replaced. So however it works best, I'm willing to work with you however I can.
Do you know what that amount is?
No, sir. We don't ever get anything that tells us what we save.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't come to us. I can ask. I can see if they can give us a... But that's not anything we're...
Have you looked at this?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that... Probably not going to get down to the cent, but something you could get a good idea of. With gaps of hiring people, waiting up to 6 weeks to hire, and with three positions turning over, there may be, whatever, $2,100, something sitting in there.
Yeah, I can only figure the hourly part, you know, their salary. But as far as knowing, because I presume you're talking about fringes and everything
right,
on it.
Total
so
amount.
To me, that would be something that would need to come for auditing, which to me would be something nice in the future. Maybe I guess we should request it. I don't know. I always hate to ask anybody to do anything additional.
Yeah.
But if this is going to be part of our budgeting process, it might be nice to just get that, be able to access it somehow.
And that amount probably is not going to be near the $13,000 necessary anyway to be able to carry
out
that two transfers you're looking at doing to be able to do that.
So. Yeah, it wouldn't be the full amount.
And it's
just
only,
whatever
it's
offset.
It's only two positions.
Okay, two positions.
Mm-hmm.
Are you any of your personnel having to work weekends because of the e-file stuff, or do you just let it roll and it'll be in the week?
Well, I do it from home all the time, or like last week in the evenings I logged in from my, I have a computer, I have a VPN in from any time, but I don't ask anyone else to do that because the court does not want anybody.
Yeah, what I'd like to see is, you know, how much do you have in there now that's extra from the savings, with understanding that it's not going to affect your line item next year on your payroll budget, and see, and then come back and let's see what difference we need to make up out of contingency.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Can we figure that out?
If it would be a possibility to get it approved, I would like to. That's perfectly fine to do that as long as it doesn't change line item, and then I would like to be able to. Know so that I could contact her and we could get her started because every day we fall further.
So this
well,
is not, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, well, plus the fact that if all we're going to do is really just delaying some time to get that $2,000 moved over. It's still going to, at the end of the year, it still goes back into the fund, right? So it's going to be rolled back in anyway. So I don't know why we couldn't just go ahead now. I mean, my thoughts are is why we couldn't do this now, because that $2,000, $3,000, whatever it is still going to go back into the general fund at the end.
Can we word this where it's the $13,000 minus the balance of what she has available? Is there a way to work that way?
I mean, I guess we... I don't know. We really haven't done it that way before. I mean, it's something where we...
That asset to transfer.
Yeah, I mean, it is... I think we can move the money now, and it's something that we can get back at mm-hmm. the end, towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you're okay and with the understanding that if, heaven forbid, something come up and we need to get it back earlier, we can figure out what that amount was, and if it turns out to however many... couple thousand bucks or something that we can get it before we get to the end of the year if need be.
Sure.
If that's okay.
Yeah, okay. It's not a problem because I have never accessed any money from a salary line item. I didn't even know we could, other than to use for extra help potentially, but I've never done that either. I would never think that we could transfer money from a salary line item into an operating.
Right. Typically we don't. Like mm-hmm. I said, just this last year we started pulling it out to start buying capital outlay.
Right.
But,
right.
So two other questions.
But that's certainly not a problem.
Two other questions I do have, if I can keep them both in my mind. One of them is, how quickly is this individual, do they want to start working?
As soon as the money is available.
Okay. And then the other question is, do you have any money in extra help salaries right now?
Yes, I do have. I did look that up right before I came. I have used right at $800 of the $4,000 I have, but I am using a college student who's working. She worked for me during Christmas. She'll be working for me during spring break. She'll be working for me during the summer. So last year, she used the whole $4,000 that I had, so that's why I went ahead and came to the court to get enough for this, to fund this employee. Now, there may be a little bit left over at the end of the budget year. I don't know. I didn't want to run it completely dry. There might be $800 left in it, in the extra help line item. I mean, I'm not going to spend it if not needed. And this person right now is saying that she wants to work, you know, the 29 hours, but that doesn't mean something isn't going to come up or she isn't going to get sick. But
right.
I don't ever take money out of there.
Because my only other thought then would be, if there's enough where you can go ahead and hire her now and start working and give us enough time to figure out what this difference is and then make the transfer just minus the $13,000 minus the difference that's already there, but she can go ahead and get started and be something that would just go on to next week. So that would be their just one transaction instead of
right.
putting it in and then taking it out later.
Right.
If that's okay with
I
you.
I wouldn't think
that would be contingent on the court. That there being at least three people that wanted to vote to do it anyways, because I don't want you to hire her and then something happened
well,
2 weeks later.
Right.
So
this individual is not replacing someone that's out. You're talking about hiring an additional employee into your office on a 29-hour basis.
I don't have anyone that's out.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, you're talking about adding personnel.
I'm talking about hiring a part-time person in lieu of the fact that I could not get a new position. So it would be someone that can come in and work the desk for the allowable amount of time that knows the work of the office that is a part-time employee.
Make a motion and give a little certainty that
she can
do it the rest of the year.
Or do it where the motion is up to $13,000 minus.
That's what
we'll say.
That's the balance.
Minus
yeah.
the overage in...
Yeah, I say, that's what I would.
Okay.
I guess can we do that so we can make a motion that we approve
up to
$13,000 with the exclusion of the money that may be remaining in your I don't know how to use the word but
the money
payroll
was saved.
In your payroll that was left over from the people between the time you hired first and then rehired.
Yeah,
and then out of money would come out of that.
And then for the next fiscal year, you're talking about adding this same amount, whatever that balance may be, whatever that encumbrance may be into your budget for next year for extra help or added into your payroll salary line item?
I would presume it would stay as extra help.
Well, I would imagine you would ask for another full-time person.
Well, yes, I will. But this person could not be that board
right,
person.
Right, but in lieu of getting a full-time person, right. I would imagine your plan B would ask for the part-time.
To find
and if you got a full-time person, you would no longer need the extra help.
Yeah,
right. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I would like both. Right. I asked for two this time.
So can we read our motion back so we know if we're on the right things? Yeah. Do we have the right motion?
I think it works. Okay. It's just as long as...
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, all right. So it's... All right, it's 3-1, and the motion is to approve the transfer from contingency to extra help salaries up to $13,000.00, excluding any excess funds existing in payroll due to vacancies.
Of her department.
And, yeah, right, in the district clerk's office.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Or precinct one?
Eight.
Two?
Aye.
Aye. Three?
Aye.
Four?
No.
Okay. Motion passes 4-1.
I appreciate that very much. And would I be able to get a copy of that once you figure it out?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Agenda item number 12. Discussion and possible action for authorization from the Orange County Commissioners Court to allow the Orange County Office of Emergency Management to apply for two grant projects through the 2017 State Homeland Security Program, SHSP. The grant projects included under the grant are the Orange County OEM and ONM project and the Orange County OEM Interoperable Communications Project. SHSP is one of the three grant programs included in the Homeland Security Grant Program, SHGP, through the Homeland Security Grants Division of the Governor's Office. The program provides funding to improve emergency management's readiness in preventing, protecting against, responding to, recovering from, and mitigating terrorist attacks, major disasters, and other emergencies. The closing date for grant submission is February 28, 2017. This program has no matching funds requirement.
Missy, is this all correct? We don't have to make the changes like we made?
No.
There was a typo, but it's all good.
It was a typo.
Just that the first project, the Orange County OEM, and it says and, O and M, it should just be Orange County OEM, O and M.
So, right, strike the word and.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And insert a comma?
That's all one thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all one thing. Okay.
An amount missing.
Yeah,
man. From both of those, it's $12,609.25. Okay. And that covers our cellular, satellite, MiFi, two new laptops, and then radio flash port software to go from analog to P25 to be able to communicate.
So these are things that we've been applying for years
all of
now.
Them, all except for the flash ports and the laptops.
Okay.
Okay. So second.
2-1. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Eight.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda item 13. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of a resolution authorizing submission of the 2017 State Homeland Security Program application for Orange County OEM ONM project to the Office of the Governor.
To move.
Second.
4-3. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
2. Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Sorry. Motion passes. Sorry. 5-0. And agenda number 14, discussion and possible action regarding approval of a resolution authorizing submission of the 2017 State Homeland Security Program application for Orange County OEM Interoperable Communications Project to the Office of the Governor.
Thank you, motion.
1 second.
2. Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Missy, while we're signing that, I want to pass along Charlie's very high praises of you and doing all this work.
Another voluntold to do.
Voluntold?
No, it's actually voluntary.
I had no doubt.
But yes. Charlie had a lot of great things to say, and very happy with the work you're doing also. It's been an hour. We're a lot faster in Vider.
Yeah. You said it's time to go, George?
Okay. We'll try to get done as quickly as we can. Now, number 15, discussion and possible action regarding approval of a line item transfer, mosquito control, from account 003-490-54950, miscellaneous fees and services, in the amount of $2,700.00, to account 003-490-57590, capital outlay, in the amount of $2,700.00, purpose, provide funds needed for the remainder of the year. Where's back? There you are. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Judge, Commissioners. I'm going to stand at the podium because I don't believe my voice projects as much as Mitzi's does in the background.
Wow.
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
No.
I'm just saying. Nobody's voice
You're
projects.
You're a brave man.
You may want to turn around and face her while you're talking.
Today, Judge, Commissioners, this line item request is directly tied to the line item transfer that was approved 2 weeks ago on January the 31st. The reason this item is back on the agenda today is due to the purchasing department's request to change the line item coding used for on the requisition that was submitted for those services that were needed. So the change that has been requested is from miscellaneous fees and services to capital outlay. The reason for this is asked, again, after the requisition was submitted following the approval of the transfer of the funds, I received a call from the purchasing department requesting that the coding or stating that the coding was incorrect that was used on the requisition and should have reflected a capital outlay expense rather than a miscellaneous fee and services expense. An explanation I was given was that it was due to the software system coding, and because the equipment software being installed for use with the new equipment makes it a part of the asset. So for that reason, the requisition has been frozen or is on hold in the system until coding change can be made to procure those services that are needed at this time. The problem is that the line item that was coding that should have been used, there are no funds in that particular line item.
Yeah, so well, I said we've already approved that, so do we have to change that before we do this?
Commissioner Burton, because it's capital outlay, we need to make sure that I wanted to make sure that everybody was on board with that this was going into an additional to the capital outlay.
Yeah, I get that, so but I'm just saying my question is, do we need to unwind what we've already done?
No, this will transfer from this land.
Okay.
This is where we transferred to.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's to that.
Okay.
It went from A to B, and now
we go back and recreate the wheel.
I got you.
We're just going to try.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. All right. We moved it there, and now we're going to move it again. Okay.
We'll make that
all right. I'll second it then.
All right. 1, 2. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
Aye. 3. 4. Motion passes 5-0. Just overall, what was the first member of the item that was being purchased?
Okay, this, actually, this is for the completion of the installation of the GPS tracking system for the two new units that were purchased at the end of last year. So it'll include the installation of GPS flow controls, configuring the systems, calibrating it, install and set up desktop application, and then the employee training, software training to work with the software.
And this will get you your reports to how much you sprayed and where you sprayed it. And
yeah, this is the tracking system that we'll do the additional things that we have not been able to do in the past, and those are some examples. Yeah. The tracking system we've had in the past simply tracked the truck, its location. This will do much more. It generates material usage reports as far as the amount of material used in a given area or active ingredient in a given area, when the spray unit's on, when it's off, those types of things, which we've never had those capabilities before.
And you're going to be able to track how much product you used. You can set up the parameters of where you want to track it from geographically.
Anywhere the truck moves to, we will have a track.
And it automatically uploads, I think, to the database when it pulls back to the...
Yes, and that's correct. It automatically downloads to the office at the end of the evening after the equipment returns back to the compound. It's not real time, but it's the next best thing as far as tracking.
These sprayers may get a lot of use.
They will be very shortly, I'm certain.
Okay.
Yeah. If you need some hints on where you might use it, just keep them.
after court today.
I guess what I wanted to ask is, there's been a lot of weather changing back and forth and everything. Is there any anticipation of any future changes you may need as far as capital outlay or anything with mosquitoes, or is it just kind of going to be normal year?
Not this time. We're just going to kind of deal with what Mother Nature, the hand she deals us, or we're dealt. That's pretty much the way we do it each year. We're well into our winter maintenance program, where we're doing our equipment maintenance that's required in order to meet our regulatory requirements. We'll be wrapping that up in the next 2 weeks. That's vehicles, spray equipment, aircraft, spray systems for the aircraft. We're completing our aerial operations manual, which will have to be approved by the FAA before we start any of the aerial applications. But like you and everyone else is concerned, as warm as this weather's been here lately, we've had a very unseasonably warm winter. So I wouldn't, and it's been wet. I know I've heard some forecasters say we need the rain. We need more rain. I don't personally think so. But I think it's plenty wet for us. Given all that information, and we anticipate probably an early startup for our season this year due to mosquito activity. We'll be prepared. As I said, within the next 2 weeks, we should be ready if the need presents itself to start moving equipment out in the field and making treatments. We'll do that as necessary.
Okay, we'll keep us posted on what's going on.
Especially with Zika.
Yeah, with communicable diseases. And right. I mean, I have seen a lot of mosquitoes out. It gives me extra motivation to run faster when I'm outside running. But prefer not to sprint everywhere I go. Let me know. Okay.
There has been some mosquito activity. I mean, I've noticed around my home as well as you all. Good thing is that I guess during the cooler weather, the mosquitoes are not as aggressive as they will be as the temperatures warm up. So the good news is it's only going to get worse as the temperatures warm up. Now is as good as it's going to get or be. And
job security there. Huh?
Yeah.
Job security.
Definitely. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick. Agenda item number 16, discussion of possible action regarding Commissioner's Court adopting revisions to the Orange County Procurement Card Policy and Procedures Manual. Anything you want to... Yes.
Did 1-2?
Yeah, 1-2-5-0. And think back on it. Yeah, we did. What I wrote down. Yes, we did. Okay.
Then we saw.
We did. Yeah, we got a little update. Okay, so Connie on the procurement card.
We have a current policy, and this is just really an update to the current policy. It's the method for the use, defines the limits. It's the procurement card, or key card, is not intended to avoid or bypass any of the standard policies or procedures. It's actually, works hand in hand with existing policies. It's emergency small dollar purchases.
So this is more some clarifications and cleaning it up. There were really no major changes to it.
No, this has been in effect for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, but these changes
were just... regulated
by
the local government code.
Yeah.
Right, I was going to say that. This is all... A lot of this is dictated by...
Right.
...local government code anyways.
I do have a question, though, more along the lines of the auditor's office. Is there a possibility, Penny, that we could get another sheet added to our bills of P-card purchases that you could just stick another in it without creating a... reinventing the wheel? Yeah, I'd love to see that show up on just, I mean, if there's nothing for purchasing for the week, just leave it at zero or whatever, I mean, just so we know that the sheet's still in there, but I'd like to be able to see those purchases.
Okay. Yes, sir. Each supervisor produces a log getting order.
Yeah.
According to 9C, each supervisor produces a log getting order, correct?
Yeah, but we have
according to 9C, it says, there should be a log of the purchases created by each or presented to each supervisor. So
yes.
If we just gather those, we probably, I don't know if that's possible. That might be the easier way, whichever works for you.
And
she,
auditors, you pass all that,
it goes through.
Okay, so it should be. Okay.
Yeah, because I think that's for internal audits per department. That's what they track for. So if you could just stick it in.
We wouldn't get to see
that.
Will
we get a copy of the policy? The new revised policy?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay, is there a
second?
Assuming it's adopted, yeah. So what was that? 4-3? Okay,
4.
Yeah, second. Any further discussion?
Effective.
February 15th, 2017? Is that your amended motion? Effective
I'll
tomorrow?
Amend it to tomorrow. That's correct.
Amend your second?
Amend my second.
Okay. All right. Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda item number 17. Discussion and possible action regarding the transfer of the following items, asset 17333 and 17335, Super Park Grill from surplus to park department, and asset 15764, microfilm reader from records management to surplus. So moved.
Second.
All right. Judge 1, any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Okay. Agenda item number 18. Open up the court session for comments from the court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Thank you to all the ones that wore red today for Valentine's Day. I think if you, get your pocket. There you go. what is it? If you don't wear a red, you get pinched or something. But
I think it's a green thing. But
it's a green thing.
I think it's a different holiday.
That's different, but different day. Yeah, I know.
People go home.
Anyways, yes. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Also wanted to. As we move closer, we're almost there to closing out our Montano case. Now that we have issued the check today, I assume that we will receive our release of judgment today as well. That's part of that transaction. But assuming all of that goes according to plan, I have scheduled February 27th at 5:30 p.m., probably out at the Expo Center to do our public review. I'm not sure how many how much interest there is in people coming and attending. It varies from what I hear, either a lot or a little, so just in case, we want to have plenty of seating if people want to come. We will talk about kind of past, present, and future of what's transpired from 2011 till today and going forward. So I wanted to let you know when that is going to be. And heard from all the pertinent personnel that have most of the answers to these types of questions and things to be asked, and they have said that they will be there as well. So that's all I have to say. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody in the audience? Nothing. Okay. We'll move to agenda item 19. Closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071(1) and 2 to discuss with Assistant County Attorney litigation styled cause number 117CV00024RC, Jerry Carthel v. Orange County, Texas, et al., in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Texas, Beaumont Division.
Judge, I ask the courtroom be cleared with the exception of the sheriff, myself, and co-counsel. There'll be no tape.
All right. If the courtroom will be cleared, there will be no tape. The time is 3:13 p.m. The time is 3:49 p.m., according to the clock on the bench here. And we are back in open court, ready for agenda item number 20. Return to open meeting. Take any action necessary based upon discussion in closed meeting.
Judge, Commissioners, I would invite a motion based upon our discussion in closed session to authorize the County Attorney's Office to mount a defense in the Jerry Carthel versus Orange County case.
So move. Is there a second?
Second.
Judge 3. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda number 21, closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.0711 and 2 to receive information from the Assistant County Attorney on a matter of attorney-client privilege.
Judge, asked there be no tape. The courtroom be cleared with the exception of myself and co-counsel at her option.
Okay, the time is 3:50 p.m. And the courtroom will be cleared. Okay, the time is 4:34 p.m.
And
we have returned to our open meeting. We're on agenda number 22. Return to open meeting, take any action based upon discussion in closed meeting. I think we're still under discussion, but as far as your information to us, I think we understand where we stand.
Yes, I have no motion to recommend based upon the discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Doug.
Appreciate it.
So, yeah. So now the discussion continues, though, in the open piece of it.
I'll be excused.
Yes, you may.
Yes, you may be.
Thank you so much.
Don't run out too fast.
I'm going to get my truck.
But you're encumbered. I'm sure what you're doing. Friday. You're taking payment out of this here and you come up.
Well, got my wife's truck. I was going to go over and go to the craft
to be able to bring it back. Just
the
correct. If you're doing it, we don't pay
for
the day.
My son had
We're not.
They're okay. Cheaper.
We're talking about crabs and
we're still recording. Thank you.
That was not meant as an endorsement of the Golden Nugget.
It's just informational.
That's not how
information.
And that's not how we pay.
Okay. So, all right. What? Well, we're still in 22. So, we need to decide. Do we want to continue to explore this issue further for now? Is that what we want to do? Until we can get an answer on what's the best course of action, if there needs to be a change that's made going off into the future of how the payroll system is done, mm-hmm. from 26 pay periods to 24 pay periods, or a division based on calendar days or work days or hours or
Well, we've got to the end of this fiscal year before it makes a difference. So, I mean, I don't think.
And I guess we also have a question, too, is on that 26th week, whenever we would roll to a 27th week, is there not a possibility to roll those hours into that and just redivide that out in the hourly rate?
We probably need to have that in the
and then that would,
another agenda item.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would solve
legal issues. And
I'll make some calls to our
Do we even need
to vote on that? That's a procedural process that we really don't need to vote on.
No, I think that's what the counselor's talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
The legal issue of the executive session has been met.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
We're not there yet. We're 22 yet.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we're at 22.
All right. Thank you for your input, and we will continue to explore this item further for now. Okay. So we'll go on to agenda item 23, discussion and possible action regarding adjourning Commissioner's Court meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
1-3. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Yes.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. The time is 4:38 p.m. and this is mercifully over.